Today's scripture reading is Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 30. Because for me, living serves Christ and dying is even better. If I continue to live in this world, I get results from my work. But I don't know what I prefer. I'm torn between the two because I want to leave this life and be with Christ, which is far better. However, it is more important for me to stay in this world for your sake. I'm sure of this. I will stay alive and remain with all of you to help your progress and the joy of your faith, and to increase your pride in Christ Jesus through my presence when I visit you again. Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Do this whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you. Do this so that you stand firm, united in one spirit and mind, as you struggle together to remain faithful to the gospel. That way, you won't be afraid of anything your enemies do. Your faithfulness and courage are a sign of their coming destruction and your salvation, which is from God. God has generously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but also of suffering for Christ's sake. You are having the same struggle that you saw me face, and now hear that I'm still facing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Dear congregants, look around you. We all have to wear masks. I just took it off for the sermon and sit far apart from each other. Sadly, COVID-19 pandemic has totally changed our normal life, including our worship service. We know it is going to be temporary, but even if the pandemic is ceased in the future, it is uncertain whether we will ever be able to go back to where we were. When we think of this, our future is uncertain and depressing. But we must remember that our hope is not in this world, but in our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the early church, Christians have faced various difficulties in each era, but in the end, they overcame the suffering. Rather, through suffering, true believers further strengthened their faith, thereby demonstrating the existence of God to the world. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 71, the psalmist confessed, "It was good that I had suffered and learned the decrees of the Lord." Therefore, let us discern the will of God, even in today's situation, with all our hearts and strength, so that we may take this opportunity as a platform for our faith to grow and eventually experience God's goodness beyond suffering. Now, I stand on this pulpit believing that the Holy Spirit, whom I rely on, will do amazing works in you. Although we are living in a difficult day every day due to the pandemic, I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our spiritual eyes to see God, who is ultimately holding our future and whose power will help us overcome any difficulties to the end. So now, together, let us proclaim God's goodness with all our hearts. Not because all difficulties have disappeared, yet suffering is still everywhere. Let us praise God because we love God so much, no matter what. Oh God, we love you. We praise you. We want to glorify your name through our worship today. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Lead our worship. Pour out your peace upon us. Starting today, we will meditate on the book of Philippians for 4 weeks. The reason I'm excited to preach through Philippians is that although this book is short, only 4 chapters, it teaches us how to find joy in suffering, which we desperately need now. As we meditate on this book, we will find out that we do have a choice regarding how we respond to the pains and sufferings of life. Let's look at the background of the book as an introduction. In Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul made his first visit to Philippi, the gateway to the continent of Europe, around AD 51. There he meets Lydia, who was a dealer in purple cloth by the riverside, and leads her to faith in Christ. Then he cast a demon out of a young girl, and for this act of kindness, he is thrown into jail. There he leads the jailer to Christ and baptizes him and his family in the middle of the night. Shortly thereafter, Paul left for another city to preach the gospel, but he continued to maintain a good relationship with the Philippian church. 10 years after, around AD 61, Paul found himself in prison in Rome, awaiting trial before Caesar. When the Philippian church heard about his imprisonment, they sent a leader named Epaphroditus to Rome with a monetary gift for Paul's personal needs. While in Rome, Epaphroditus became sick and nearly died. When words got back to the Philippians, they naturally was very concerned. Eventually, Epaphroditus returned to health, and Paul sent him back to Philippi carrying a brief thank you letter to the church. That brief letter is the New Testament book of Philippians. Paul uses the words joy and rejoice 14 times in this short book. He uses the word joy only in a living relationship with Jesus Christ regardless of circumstances that are good or bad. If you do not have joy right now, don't blame your circumstances. The real source of joy comes only from knowing Jesus Christ, not from circumstances that can be changed all the time. Today's text begins in verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is the core of Paul's faith and the basis of his hope, the reason for his existence. For him, to live is Christ, which is good, and to die is heavenly gain, which is also good. Paul is at present a prisoner awaiting trial, which is a life and death proposition. At best, he will be acquitted and freed. At worst, he will be found guilty and executed. But even in this situation, Paul wants the Philippians to know that his fate is secured, whether he is to live or die. Many who read this verse wonder how death can be a gain for anyone. The traditional interpretation of this verse is that Paul expects death to usher him into Christ's throne in heaven upon his death. Paul has lived a purposeful life, but not an easy one. His life has been characterized by hardships of various difficulties. Once he has died, those hardships will be behind him, and he can expect to experience only glory. Therefore, to die is to gain. Though Paul expresses his dilemma in verses 22 and 23, I quote, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." From the standpoint of his own personal welfare, Paul would welcome dying and being with Christ. If the Romans decide to execute him, he will no longer have to experience beatings and shipwrecks and other hardships for the cause of Christ. He will instead be with Christ in glory. Some people want to die because they hate this life. But Paul was ready and willing to die because he looked forward to life with Christ in heaven. Paul continues in verses 24 to 26, I quote, "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Paul concluded that he wouldn't die just yet, but would be spared so that he could minister to the Philippians. Even though he preferred to die so that he could see Christ, he put aside his own preferences for the good of others. By continuing with his life in this world, Paul will have an opportunity to observe the progress of the Philippian Christians and their joy in faith. Paul only views his prison as just one more mission field. Being imprisoned has not blocked his opportunity to proclaim Christ, which is his reason for living. What will death be like for you? You can never say to die is gain unless you can also say, for to me to live is Christ. If we are afraid to die, perhaps it is because we don't trust Jesus, who has resurrected and also will lead us to be resurrected following his way. When the time of death arrives, put our hand in God's hand and let him guide us safely home. Death is like the narrow passageway between this life and the next. We toddle like little children down that frightening passageway with eyes full of fear. If only we could see that Jesus stands like a mother watching her children learn to walk. Just one more step, baby. Just one more step. And we will arrive safely in the arms of Jesus forever. I remember a little acrostic based on the word joy many, many years ago. Here is God's prescription for joy. J, can you shout? No, you don't shout. Can you whisper? J. J, Jesus first. O, others second. Guess why? Yourself third. Jesus first, others second, yourself third. It is true that when Jesus is first in your life, you can have joy that goes beyond any circumstances. If you know Jesus, you will never be disappointed, whether in our living and in our dying. Therefore, although we are living in an unprecedented time right now, let us believe that all of this is allowed for a while, by God to work good in us. And in the end, everything will be done in good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.